This is the Feast of Feasts. This is the reason why we're Christian. This is the reason for being Christians. The fact that Jesus Christ, who is God Himself, died on the cross and 3 days later rose from the dead. St. Paul says, if this did not happen, if Jesus did not rise, our whole religion, our whole faith is in vain. So this did happen. This is the Christian claim. And not just that it happened metaphorically or figuratively. A lot of people think this. Oh, the resurrection just means that the stories from Jesus are carried on. The lessons, the moral teachings from Jesus are carried on. This is not what we get from the scriptures and not what we get from the history of the church. This would make no sense. This is what other religions claim. Their teachings are passed on. We claim that Jesus rose from the dead in the flesh. He was dead, and 3 days later, he rose. This is a radical claim, an absolutely radical claim. If we see this to be true, if we believe this, then everything changes. Everything changes. If we don't see this to be true, then we live our lives as if death has the last say. But it doesn't have the last say because Jesus conquered death. Jesus rose from the dead. And now we are in Jesus. We have been baptized into Jesus. And the water that was sprinkled upon us in the beginning of Mass is a reminder of that. We have died with Christ and we have risen with Christ. This is our religion. But too many of us don't believe this. Too many of us don't know this. They say that in the last 25 years, 40 million Christians have left Christianity, just in the United States. 40 million Christians, which is to say they don't believe in the resurrection. And that's just the numbers that have formally left Christianity. Then there are all of those, maybe all of us, who haven't formally left Christianity, but have practically left it. The easiest piece of evidence is to ask ourselves whether we come to Mass every Sunday. If we don't come to Mass every Sunday, the day that's set apart to celebrate the resurrection, every week of the year, then we don't live as if Jesus rose from the dead. We might believe it in some vague way, intellectually, but we don't live as if it's true. But what if we had evidence? What if we had proof to know that this did happen? That Jesus did rise from the dead. Not just figuratively, not just metaphorically, but in reality, in the flesh. What if we had evidence for this? We heard in this reading a very peculiar, very strange detail. That when Peter and the other disciple, whom was probably John, when they went into the tomb, not only did they see an empty tomb where Jesus had been buried, and now it was empty, Jesus was no longer there. Not only did they see that, but they saw burial cloths in the tomb. The cloths that Jesus was wrapped with. If somebody had come and stolen the body of Jesus, they certainly wouldn't have removed his burial cloths from him. But these people, Peter and John, they went into the tomb and they saw burial cloths. And they went on to say more. They saw burial cloths there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. If this were just a made-up story, the author would not have included these details. They're irrelevant. But this is an eyewitness account. Somebody went in there and saw these things, and they wrote it down. The burial cloths in one place, and the cloth that covered his head rolled up in another place. What happened to these cloths? Jesus is by far the most known figure in the history of the world. And we know where all the other really famous figures are buried. Any figure from antiquity, Muhammad or Julius Caesar, or any Roman emperor or Egyptian pharaoh, we know where all of them are buried. We don't know where Jesus is buried. We Christians know why, because he rose from the dead and he ascended back to the Father. But what about these cloths? We should know something about these cloths. If it's really God and it's really Jesus who rose from the dead and the cloths that wrapped his body, what happened to these cloths? Well, we know exactly where it is. It's in Turin, in Italy. It's the Shroud of Turin. The same cloth that wrapped the body of Jesus 2,000 years ago is in a city in Italy. And we can go and study it. And we have been studying it for centuries, especially in the last 50 years, since 1970. This is the Shroud of Turin, the same cloth that wrapped the body of Jesus, is the most studied artifact in all of human history. Scientists from every field, from every religion, have been studying this cloth. This cloth is very strange. It has some very strange markings on it. And at first, it appeared like strange markings, like it didn't really make a figure, didn't really put together a figure, or you could kind of see a figure, but not really. It didn't really resemble anything. And this was the case until 1898. In 1898, a photographer took a picture of the cloth and its markings. And once that photography saw the negative of the picture, anyone who knows a little bit about photography knows about the negative of a picture. Once they saw that negative of the picture that they took of the shroud, they saw a perfect painting of a man. Not just any man, a man that had clearly been crucified. They could see the markings, not on the hand, as many of our paintings have, Jesus has markings on his hands. That wouldn't have been the case in the crucifixion. Like we have in our crucifix here, that's more accurate. The nails go through his wrists. That's how crucifixions would have happened in the ancient Roman world. That's what holds up the body. The hand wouldn't have been strong enough, but the wrists are. And that's what we see in the shroud. Even though paintings down the centuries had depicted Jesus with holes in his hands, the shroud has the holes, the hole marks in his wrists. Also on his feet, also on his side, where the lance was thrust, also blood markings on his head, where the crown of thorns would have been placed. Also markings from the scourgings on his back. And the markings reflect accurately what we know about the scourgings during this time. But more than this, there's also pollen on the shroud and other biological matter that are from that region of the world. Not from Italy, where it is, where it's been for centuries, but from Jerusalem, where he was crucified and buried in this cloth. There's also remnants of the coins of Pontius Pilate. This was a custom at the time. The deceased were buried with the coins of the governor on its eyes, on his or her eyes. And we see the markings of that on the shroud. But here's maybe the most interesting thing. These markings are not painted on this, on the shroud. Much like in the tilma of Our Lady Guadalupe, they're not painted. These markings are also not painted. They're all but floating on top of the shroud. They're just at the very, very edge. They're microscopic pigments. The best explanation the scientists have at this point as to how that came to be was something resembling a nuclear explosion, a radioactive explosion. Something exploded into this cloud, into this shroud, and it left these markings. We Christians hear that, and we can recognize right away, well, of course, that makes sense. That explosion was the resurrection. When the God-man, who had been dead for 3 days, rose from the dead. That would have been nothing short of an explosion, a radioactive explosion. And that left the markings on this shroud. And then Jesus unraveled himself and left the burial cloths there. The cloths on one side and the cloths that rolled up his head on another side. And he walked out of the tomb. John and Peter went in, found these cloths, and kept them. And those same cloths have been preserved for us for 2,000 years. So I encourage you, anyone who doesn't believe in the resurrection, or maybe somebody who believes it in a vague way, oh, sure, Jesus rose from the dead, that's nice. To study this. You can go and study this. Just like we study math and science and history and engineering and whatever else, all of those things are important. We need to apply our minds, our intellect, to our religion. This is the most important part of our lives. We're not going to go to heaven or hell based on whether we do well in our works or not. That's part of it, doing our duties. No, we're going to go to heaven or hell based on whether we love God or not. And if we have any kind of obstacles that's preventing us from loving God, any kind of intellectual obstacles, objections, oh, this is silly, oh, this is from the past, oh, nobody believes in this, you're going against reason. It's irrational to not believe in the resurrection. It's a point of fact, a point of history. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And this changes everything. We can now live our lives as if God has conquered death, because he has. And he has laid out this path for us, for our death to not be the end, but for us also to rise with him to heaven, to the Father. Un resumen simple en español es que tenemos prueba, evidencia, que Jesús resucitó. Jesucristo resucitó. Esta celebración que estamos aquí celebrando no es inventada. Es un punto de historia que Jesucristo estaba muerto por 3 días y resucitó. Y una evidencia muy fuerte que tenemos de eso es la ropa con que estaba vestido, los lienzos que estaba en el cuerpo de Jesús. Escuchamos aquí en esta lectura del Evangelio que fueron puestos en el suelo y el sudario que había estado sobre la cabeza de Jesús, puesto no con los lienzos del suelo, 2 diferentes lienzos. Esos lienzos nosotros los tenemos. Está en un centro en la Italia, en Turín. Es la sábana santa de Turín. Y podemos estudiar eso para nos ayudar a entender con nuestra inteligencia también, con nuestra mente, con nuestra razón, que Jesús resucitó. No solamente con la fe y la razón, la inteligencia tienen que ser integradas. No podemos levantar uno sin levantar el otro también. Y en esos lienzos, en esta sábana santa de Turín, hay mucha evidencia que era de realidad la sábana de Jesucristo, de un hombre que fue crucificado con diferentes marcas en su cuerpo. Entonces, animo a todos a estudiar la sábana santa de Turín, especialmente los que tienen alguna duda sobre la resurrección de Jesús. Y la duda, hay la duda intelectual, la duda, no creo, o no sé si creo. Pero también la duda de las acciones. Si nosotros no estamos viniendo a la misa cada domingo es como una Pascua. Si no estamos celebrando, conmemorando la resurrección de Jesucristo todas las semanas, estamos diciendo con nuestras acciones que nosotros no creemos en la resurrección. Entonces tenemos que creer con la mente, pero creer también con las acciones, con el corazón, con el amor. Y así crecemos en nuestro amor a Dios y al prójimo. Nosotros no vamos a ser juzgados en qué hacemos aquí en la tierra, qué bien sucedidos somos aquí en la tierra. No. Vamos a ser juzgados en la medida de nuestro amor. Amor primeramente a Jesús, a Dios, y amor también al prójimo. Pero la buena noticia es que no necesitamos amar solos con nuestra propia fuerza. No, amamos con el amor de Dios. Dios quiere darnos su amor para con él amar a Dios y amar al prójimo. Entonces te animo a buscar la verdad, buscar la realidad de la resurrección de Jesús, de Jesucristo. Y así podemos cantar: Cristo, nuestro Cordero Pascual, ha sido inmolado. Celebremos, pues, la Pascua.